ஆனீவ சர்வஷஹ
பூர்மோங்காணீவ சர்வஷஹ பூர்மோங்காணீவ சர்வஷஹ
யதா சம்ஹரதே சாயம் கூர்மோங்காணீவ சர்வஷஹ
யதா சம்ஹரதே சாயம் கூர்மோங்காணீவ சர்வஷஹ
இந்திரியாணீந்திரியார்த்தேப்யஹ discussing this section called Sthita Prajna. And from this shloka, the 58th shloka, until the 68th, 11 shlokas, Krishna is giving a slight diversion. And what is that diversion? Up to now, the topic was the characteristics or the traits of a Sthita Prajna. That's what we saw in the last class, the characteristics of a Sthita Prajna. Now on, the topic is going to be how to become a sthira prajna. How is to become a sthira prajna? Means a person with a firm knowledge. Sthira prajnasya upaya. What is the upaya? The means, the technique of sthira prajnatvam. That's what Krishna is going to talk about now. And Krishna does not talk about the knowledge itself. He is not talking about jnanam itself here. He is talking about, because jnanam is not the topic. The topic is how to convert the knowledge to a firm knowledge. That is the topic. How to convert jnanam into a firm jnanam or sthita prajna. So the conversion of prajna, knowledge, to sthira prajna is what is the topic here. And how to get the prajna, that is not said. Krishna, you know, he's not going to discuss here. We should know it already. Because what are the different stages of getting jnanam? First stage is what? From karmi to karma yogi. That is number one. Karma yoga is number one. For getting what? Chitta shuddhi. To get the purity of mind, chitta shuddhi, karma yoga. Then second stage is upasana. Upasana meditation. To do what? To get chitta naishchalya. Chandishatim, ekagrata, one point at attention, focus. And the third stage is self-inquiry, jnana yoga. Third stage jnana yoga. And that is the scriptural study, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, all come under jnana yoga. So in jnana yoga alone, they make again two stages. One stage is to get jnanam itself, to get the knowledge itself, that is number one. And second stage is to convert that jnanam to a firm jnanam, a firm knowledge, a sthita prajna. That's what he is doing. So for this they prescribe actually several sadhanas, listening to the scriptures, that is shravanam, and thinking it over again and again, getting all the doubts cleared, that is mananam. All those things are all cleared. They are all done now. So shravanam and mananam. Hearing and analyzing thoroughly, all the questions are all answered, because first we may have doubts. Aham Brahma Asmi, very nice to hear, but we all have doubts. Am I really Brahman? I am only made up of 5 feet 8 inches, 200 pounds, 150 pounds. How I can be Brahman? All those doubts will linger in the mind all the time. So get all those things cleared. So it has to become a clear knowledge without any doubts. So mananam helps all those things. So karma yoga itself talks about actually samatvam. Then people may add the question, why jnana yoga at all? Because that question will, because these are all doubts. Karma yoga talks about samatvam, yoga uchyate, we already saw that. So all those things, you know, you have to look at everything with an equanimous out attitude. So that is samatvam. So that itself is karma yoga. Then jnana yoga also talks about the same thing. So why at all again jnana yoga goes through all the rigor of shravanam, mananam and all, we can be happy with samatha. So these are all doubts. These doubts can come into the mind. So when a person practices shravanam and mananam, he has the doubtless knowledge. Jnanam is gained at that stage. But the scriptures say that is not enough. Gaining that knowledge alone is not enough, because the knowledge is gained only recently. Now only we have gained the knowledge, but we have been samsari for how long? For time immemorial we have been samsari. not only this janma, maybe several janmas we do not know. So we have been samsari for so long, so we cannot tell any time at all that we have been samsari for maybe 10 years, 20 years, this birth. No, we cannot say that at all in several janmas, because the reactions to life situations have become part of us. They have become habit to us. The reactions to situations in life, we are always, it is habituated in us. Every time something happens, we immediately react, flare up immediately. So it's been part of it all the time. So worry, anger, frustration, depression, they have been there with us for so long, which we don't know. So no person really wants to worry. If you ask anybody, nobody wants to worry, but worry happens. Nobody wants to be angry also. Anger happens. Nobody wants to be depressed. Depression happens. Nobody wants to be frustrated either. Frustration happens. They all knock at your door, gate crash into you. Even though you do not want them, they get crash into you. So our inner mind is deeply soaked in all the samsaric ways of life. All of them, all the time. So like raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, loba, moha, madha, matsarya, all those things, mind is soaked all the time with that. Then it's not listening. This is a new phone I got. This is a new toy. My son wanted me to get
iPhone.
This. This is not iPhone. This is Droid.
Android.
Verizon phone. And is anybody's working for Verizon? I don't know. So for example, this, how these vasanas are there. They normally give an example of a plate, a clean plate, where you kept something like an onion or garlic. It was there in the plate. So when it is there, it smells all over the place. You know it. Now you want to clean the plate, remove the plate, remove the onion, threw it away. You kept the plate still. Onion is gone, but the smell doesn't go away. It is there in it so much, the smell is so strong, it doesn't get out of the place at all. It is there. The same way, even though you got jnanam now, our habitual tendencies, which have been there in us for several ages, they don't get out that easily. They are still there. That is why even though you gain knowledge, that knowledge should be firmed up. It should become a firm knowledge. Then only you know, Aham Brahma Asmi is, for me, I can relate to it. I know that is Satyam. Then only I can understand that. So our problem is what? Self-ignorance. That is our problem. The effect of self-ignorance, the smell of it, there is the raga, the dvesha, they are all the effect of the self-ignorance. All the smell of it are all that. So they are called avidya vasanaya. Actually, Adi Shankaracharya says this avidya vasana is not starting now. Starting from any number of, innumerable number of janmas, which we don't know. So the avidya vasana, they have been in our minds all the time for several janmas, aneka koti janmataha. So many crores of janma it has been there. So what this person does through jnanam is removing avidya. It is like removing the onion. By jnanam, he is removing avidya. Ignorance is gone. Like removing the onion, but what happens, its effect seems to still linger on. The effect of self-ignorance still seems to linger on because of the deep-rooted presence over several janmas. Okay. So on one side, what he does Vedanta Shravana. Comes to Gita class. No problem. On the other side, what happens? Our habitual tendencies still linger on. All the kama, krodha, loba, moha, madha, matsarya, everything still acting on us. After some time, what people will ask? Hey, you are going to Gita class, Vedanta class for so many years. You are also like that. I have not gone to any class. I am also like that. Why waste time? Why are you going and sitting there just to waste your time? There is no need. That's what people may even say, that these things all make no sense. They may even argue that all these things do not make any sense at all. So even other people may criticize us. That you are only studying Gita, you are as you were, I have not studied Gita, I am as I am better. People might even argue. And why this situation is? Because one side, there is knowledge. But the other side, that knowledge has not become a firm knowledge. That knowledge is only a hearsay knowledge. It has not got into us. It has not been assimilated in us. It has not become part of it. So the effect of avidya, the habitual tendency, this is called a viparita bhavana in Vedanta. The habitual tendency is called a viparita bhavana. They will not go that easily at all. Or avidya vasana or viparita bhavana, whatever you call it. It will not go that easily. So if all these have to be removed and to be filled with Purnatva, because our aim is what? To gain Purnatva. I want to become Purnaha. So if I want to get Purnatva, that is Tripti. We also call it Tripti or Ananda. We can call it anyway. Purnatvam, Tripti, Ananda, Contentment. Contentment is Tripti. Love, calmness, all these things, they all go the same way. So this knowledge should be made a firm and permanent knowledge. It should become. It is not just the superficial mind, it should be there. It should have gone deep into every part of the cell in the body. The entire body should feel that I am full with this jnana. It should be part of every cell of the body. Whenever we are conscious, this can be there. When we are conscious, no problem. Aham purna, asmi, no problem. When we are not conscious, in the subconscious mind also it should be there. That is how the knowledge should be firmed up. Otherwise, mechanically, superficially, you may be doing this and that. But it does not become part of us completely. So the only method to remove the negative effect of this is the assimilation of this knowledge completely into the system. It should be totally assimilated into the personality of this person. So this assimilation is a very, very important step. So first step is Shravanam, listening to the knowledge. Then Mananam, to remove all the doubts, to make the knowledge really doubtless knowledge. And after gaining this Jnanam, the third step is to assimilate this knowledge and make it as a firm knowledge. It is like, for example, we get coffee at home. So you tell your wife, oh, there is no sugar in the coffee. So what the wife does, oh, there is no sugar, maybe I forgot to put. So she goes and puts one spoon of sugar and gives the coffee to you. You drink. You still say, oh, there is no sugar in the coffee. What did not happen? She added the sugar, that is correct. It's not stirred. The sugar should become part of every droplet of that coffee. Then only you enjoy real coffee. Otherwise, it is coffee which is still bitter coffee. Actually, Swamiji nice puts the coins in a very nice sloka. He says, Brahma Ivatate Amritam Purastate Brahma Paschate Brahma Dakshinasascha Uttarenaha Adascha Urdvancha Prasritam Sarvatra Maduramayam Coffee. So, sarvatra madhuramayam coffee. Because the coffee, when you stir, it should be top, it's at the top also it should be sweet, middle it should be sweet, bottom should be sweet throughout. Then only you can enjoy a coffee which is the coffee which you want. Otherwise, unstirred coffee, even though you have added sugar, you have gained jnana, but has not been assimilated, that is no use. You cannot enjoy it. So Krishna will emphasize that the practice of Nididhyasana, this is called Nididhyasana, to make this knowledge into assimilating into the system, so that requires certain conditions also. Krishna tells that it also requires some conditions. It is the same conditions like Shravanam and Mananam. These conditions are not any different. It also requires what? Sadhana, Chatushtayam, Sampattihi, Viveka, Vairagya, Shramadhi, Shatka, Sampattihi, Mumukshutvam, all these words I can use now liberally. You know them all very well. So all these things one should gain. Just like when they build some building, what they do normally, they cordon off the place. They put a fence so that nobody will come, nobody will disturb. Then they lay the floor. Some concrete or something is put. They have to protect that now, because it is all put now. And then it has to be nurtured also. You cannot just pour the concrete and leave. You have to add water every day and then make sure it's cured properly. So it is not just you can gain the jnanam and leave it like this. It has to be nurtured. It has to be nourished. Then only the building will become a firm and good building. So knowledge also is the same way. It is not just putting the foundation alone and then leaving away. It has to be protected, nurtured and then grown. So the mind is to be taken care of during what? Shravanam and Mananam also it should be taken care. And at Nididhyasanam also you should take care of the mind. If mind is not taken, it will again, mind is a monkey as I told. It will just go away. So you have to take care of it, protect it all the time. So among these conditions, Krishna now emphasizes two very important conditions here, which are very necessary during Shravanam and Mananam and later also. And what are those two? They are Dhamaha. Dhamaha we have already seen in Tattva Bodha. Dhamaha means what? Indriya Nigraha. Indriya Nigraha means what? Sense control. Control of our sense organs is Dhamma. And then Shama, Shama is Mano Nigraha, control of mind. So control of sense organs, control of mind, these are two important conditions for a person to be able to do practice Nididhyasana. Okay. So Krishna is going to talk about these two in the following 11 slokas, 58 to 69. After this topic, then Krishna will continue with the topic of Stita Pragyasya Lakshana, that it will come again. So here is the relevant diversion. So in this 58th sloka that we read just now, Krishna talks about sense control, namely Dhamaha. Sense control is being talked about. And he gives here an example of a tortoise, kurma. Kurma is tortoise. He gives that as an example. And what a tortoise does, the tortoise freely moves everywhere, no problem. Freely moves everywhere. The moment it senses danger, what it does, it withdraws all its four legs and the head. We have to have five, because five Jnanendriyas are there. So all the four legs and the head, it just withdraws into the shell. The moment it senses danger. Okay. Once the danger is gone, then everything comes out. Then it moves about normally. No problem. In the same way, even after studying Vedanta, this is for a person who has studied Vedanta, not for a guy on the street. A person who has studied Vedanta and knowing that all sense objects are only bondage. We already told, Vishayaha, sense objects. They are all only bondage. We will find that the objects will still continue to tempt a person. Because these are all external temptations. It will be still there. I just go out, walk. I got five gates, right? So, Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. All those things. Like a beautiful, on the way, Masala Dosa draws me in. I am not wanting. It draws me in. The nose is drawn. Mukha pidichi ilukkaradhu. Mukha yaru ilukkaradhu. Right? These usages, the nose is being drawn. What is not drawn by anybody? That smell draws you. This, you succumb to your temptations. Succumb to all these things because all these five gates, they crash into you. Even if you don't want them. And the problem is what? The moment temptation comes, peculiarly, that becomes doubly powerful. Temptation, moment it comes, that becomes doubly powerful and I become proportionally weaker. This is the story of Vali in Ramayana. The moment anybody, Vali is temptation. Vali personifies temptation. The moment anybody comes in front of Vali, what happens? Vali becomes doubly powerful, the other person becomes half powerful. He loses his strength. That's what this happens all the time. So this is the problem of every seeker. Every seeker who is after Vedanta, for him, he will know all these things, no problem. He knows all these. But the moment temptation comes, that is the problem. At that time, because the knowledge has not become firm knowledge yet, all these things drag him out. All advertisements, they are all valis. Every advertisement you see on the road is a vali. So because they draw you, it's all problem. So it can affect only when the sense organs are out, like the tortoise. When they are drawn inside, it cannot affect you. When the sense organs are out, then only they can out you. They can affect you. So as the tortoise withdraws, the seeker also, the moment he finds the possibility of temptation, the moment he finds the possibility, then what he does? He withdraws his senses also. That's what the seeker will do. Either he can close them, he can shut off, put earbuds and close your ears. Some noise is coming, close you, that is possible. Or you can move away from that place. So both can be possible. So either he can close them or physically he can get away from that place. This is called Dhamaha. Sense control. Okay. It's a very, very important thing. Before and after Vedanta Shravanam. During Vedanta Shravanam also you have to have sense control. So that when Shravanam is going on, you don't get drawn away from what is happening outside. And after Shravanam also, when you are practicing Nididhyasanam, at that time also, it is important because you don't get digressed. That is what is said here. Yada. Yada means just as. Kurmaha angani samharate. Samharaha means here upasamharaha. Withdrawal. It is not destruction. It is upasamhara, withdrawal. Just as a tortoise, kurmaha, angani, all its organs. As the tortoise withdraws its five limbs whenever danger comes, sarvashaha, sarvashaha from all directions. That may come from any direction. It just withdraws. Tada, in the same way, a seeker also, before, during, and even after the study of Vedanta. Very important. Before the study of Vedanta, during the study, and after the study of Vedanta, till it has become part of him. till it has been completely assimilated into his personality, what he does? Indriyani, we have to supply api upasamharate. As Kurmangani, here also we have to supply upasamharate. Indriyani withdraws all the sense organs, indriyani, all the sense organs he withdraws. He does not yield to temptation at all. It is very, very difficult to achieve. Very difficult not to succumb to temptation. But the seeker, he has firm, the willpower is so strong. He is able to do that. I am means he. From what he withdraws? Indriyaha athebhyaha. Indriyaha athebhyaha. Indriya athebhyaha refers to from the respective sense objects. So he is withdrawing from the respective sense objects. Here artha refers to vishayaha. We already told vishayaha is sense objects. So indriya vishayabhyaha. Indriya athebhyaha means indriya vishayabhyaha. The ears from the sound, the eyes from the form, the nose from the smell, he withdraws all of them. They don't distract him anymore. So why? As the tortoise knows that the external enemy is a danger, similarly the Vedantin also knows that sense objects are danger. Sense objects are danger. They have the ability to tempt and then digress me. So he should know that very well. And if this is done, tasya prajna pratishtita, then for that person, wisdom is supposed to be firmly established. So when he can control his sense organs and withdraws them, whenever there is an opportunity for temptation from the external vishayas, sense objects, then when that person can do that, then tasya prajna pratishtita.
Yes. This is happening to me when I'm doing Sandhya Vandana or anything, right? I want to be concentrated on what I am doing, but what happens is my mind somewhere it goes in the middle of the japam or somewhere, I don't know, like I want to concentrate on Gayatri japa only, but somehow my mind goes somewhere. Even though I close my eyes, everything, I shut off my sense organs, I am not able to control my mind.
That is next. Samaha will come next. I told you, he is going to talk about tooth, right? Damaha is talking now. Shamaha will come next.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante. Vishaya vinivartante.
Niraharasya dehinaha.
Niraharasya dehinaha. Niraharasya dehinaha.
Vishaya vinivartante. Niraharasya dehinaha.
Vishaya vinivartante. Niraharasya dehinaha. Vishaya vinivartante. Niraharasya dehinaha.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya. Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Param drushtva nivartate.
Param drushtva nivartate.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drushtvani vartate.
Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drushtvani vartate. Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drushtvani vartate.
He is talking exactly what you are asking. He says here, even after the practice of Dhamma, the sense control, one's mind has not become totally free from the taste of sense objects. That's what he says. Even though he has controlled the sense organs, the craving for sense pleasures would not have gone. It is still there because they are deep in the mind. They are very deep in the mind. He has solved the problem only at the external level. At the sense organ level, he has stopped. No problem. But not at the internal level. It has not gone from there. So Krishna calls this as rasam. Not Mysore rasam, this is artha. Krishna says, Niraharasya dehinaha. Niraharasya dehinaha. Dehi. Dehi means this an individual. A sadhaka. A person upasaka, a sadhaka. Who is niraharaha. Niraharaha literally means one who is fasting. Who is not taking any food. That is niraharaha. But here it is not fasting. Here the one who does not feed to the sense organs. A person who does not feed to the sense organs with sense objects. He is not feeding the sense organ of, you know, the smelling faculty with the nice smell, or, you know, he is not doing all that thing. So eyes, ears, tongue, etc., they are not fed with tempting objects, tempting things. They are not fed with them. So actually it is not totally not eating, seeing or anything. You cannot be without that. You have to see, you have to eat. There's no chance. You have to survive. It's not totally, but it is, the temptation is gone. So because we have to live, we have to eat, and all those things have to be there. But the temptation is gone. He is very choosy and takes only whatever is necessary alone. He takes. He doesn't just think because it is available. Whatever is necessary alone, it's a very, very well-regulated, disciplined life, well-controlled life. That's what he is leading. Wipe off all temptations right at the bud itself. Any temptation, when it is wiped off at the bud, no problem. Okay. If you allow it to enter once, then it will grow like a cancer. That is the effect of temptation. It is so powerful. Here Krishna says, even after controlling the same sense organs, the sense objects, in the mind, rasam still continues. That's what he says, the perception. It still continues in the mind. So he says, nirahara, that is not, the moment it is, the thought is born, jatamatram, that is another way, Swamiji puts it, jatamatram, the moment it is born, the thought, the temptation, moment it is born, shatrum, an enemy, and vyadi, both of them. The moment they form, the Shatru and enemy and the Vyadi both of them, Prashamam Nayed, wipe it off. The moment they are born, wipe them off completely. Ati Puttanga Yuktobi, if a person, even if he is a very, very, very healthy person, very strong person, no problem at all, even for him, Sapaschat Tena Hanyate. If it is not done, that will grow and destroy the person completely. Temptation is like that, Vyadi is like that. Both of them are. So Krishna says, Niraharasya, for a person who has learned to withdraw the sense organs from sense objects. Okay? See, it does not, no, the temptation itself, he is not feeding it to the temptation now anymore. Vishayaha vinivartante, the sense objects, Vishayaha means the sense objects, will withdraw from him, vinivartante. They withdraw from him, they stop that temptation anymore. Because they know very well they cannot tempt him anymore. They stop the temptation. So the temptations are gone. But still one thing will continue. What that one thing is continuing? Rasavarjam. Rasam. That rasam is continuing. It is there in the mind. It is still there. Except the inner taste for pleasures. That is deep rooted. You may not smell something today. You might have smelled something very nice 20 years ago. You can still feel the smell today. You are not smelling it now physically. But that smell still lingers in the mind. I used to always tell, when the Mahasannidhanam came to Anushaktinagar, when I was working in Government of India, he visited the Anushaktinagar colony. So both the acharyas came. So I gave Purnagam Tumam Tumam and all that. And then he gave me a chikku. Chikku is that, what is that?
Chappada.
He gave me a chikku as prasadam. That he put. And I took that prasadam. I smelled the chikku even today. It happened when? About nearly 28 years ago. I smell it even today because that is how it lingers. It lingers in the mind. So, rasa varjam, except the inner taste for pleasures. Varjam means except. Except the inner taste for pleasures that is deep rooted. That means what? As long as it is there in the mind, it can flare up anytime. And it can flare up and flare up on what? It will weaken. It will still weaken my senses again anytime. So, once one cancer cell is enough. We don't need million of them. Only one is enough. Then rasam is like a seed. That thought is like a seed in the mind. It can grow to any extent if it is not completely uprooted. It can grow to any way. This is thought. We are not talking real disease. Think of how thought can be so dangerous. That's what Krishna is talking. Then the next question is what? How to remove the rasam? The rasam is there in the mind, these thoughts. How do you remove them? The deep inner craving. Inner craving for the pleasures, Krishna says, Asya rasamapi, even this rasam, the deep inner urge, nivartate, will go away when? Param drishtva. Param drishtva, when the param, the self, or the paramatman is firmly wound up or known. When paramatman is firmly wound up or when he is known, even this rasam will be gone. Even this will be removed. That is, when the param brahma jnanam is assimilated. When Aham Brahma Asmi is assimilated, even this will be gone. So, Stita Prajna is called Darshanam. This is called Darshanam. Stita Prajna is called Darshanam here. So, if I continue the Vedantic field for sufficient length of time, that Vedanta may get assimilated in me. So I should put every effort to assimilate this jnanam, and once it becomes part of me, every cell of me, even the rasam that is in the mind would be gone. So the assimilated wisdom is called the darshanam. The assimilated jnanam is called darshanam. So it has become intimate part of me. It has become completely part of me. Later Krishna is going to call this as jnanam and vijnanam. We are going to call it later. Jnanam and vijnanam, Krishna is going to talk about them later. But this is how it is called later. Then this rasam also is gone from the mind. Then this person is free from all dangers. He is free from all the sense objects, dangers from them. Because all the sense organs are controlled through dhamma. And he has also controlled the mind. So rasam is also gone. So he is totally free to take jnanam without any problem. Mind is clean. Totally cleaned mind. Very, very bright mind.
Yatato hyapi kaunteya.
Yatato hyapi kaunteya. Yatato hyapi kaunteya.
Purushasya vipaschitaha.
Purushasya vipaschitaha. Purushasya vipaschitaha.
Yatato hyapi kaunteya. Purushasya vipaschitaha.
Yatato hyapi kaunteya. Purushasya vipaschitaha. Yatato hyapi kaunteya.
Indriyani pramathini.
Indriyani pramathini. Indriyani pramathini.
Karanti prasabham manaha.
Karanti prasabham manaha. Karanti prasabham manaha.
Indriyani pramathini. Karanti prasabham manaha.
Indriyani pramathini. Karanti prasabham manaha.
Krishna says definitely that this is, he gives a warning, this is not at all easy. He knows it very well, it is not at all easy. So it requires constant alertness. The mind should be alert all the time and a firm resolve or a willpower. Person should have a firm willpower to accomplish that. It is a fight between the willpower and the temptation. It is a fight in day-to-day life, it's a fight between, we all know it, right? There's nothing new here, we all know it. Krishna only says it, then it occurs to us, perhaps. Fight between willpower and temptation. It is like this AIDS. You know, the AIDS is a very peculiar disease, doctors know. Thing is, you know, normally when some foreign body comes and attacks us, we have an immune system in the body. It attacks, fights back. So there is a war going on between the whatever foreign element that comes and the inner, our immune system, it fights. So all these pus and all that thing, they are all the aftermath of that war. But what this AIDS does, it affects the very immune system itself. So it's very dangerous. Correct? Because you normally fight, the immune system fights something. So the immune system itself is affected here because it's straight, because normally you may say a fever is from virus or something, it may be some external thing. But here it is affecting the immune system itself. So the body will have all the disease because the immune system is gone. So once that itself is weakened, any disease can come to the body, can affect the body. Similarly, if the willpower is, that's the immune system for us. If that itself is now hurt, if that is affected, then it is very difficult for us to get over any of these temptations at all completely. So the problem of temptation, it is what? It will attack the willpower. The temptation is not going to attack anything else. It always wants the real challenging thing to fight. Willpower, it is going to hurt. He doesn't want any other unequals. No. Willpower is a strong thing. I want to fight. You know, all these in the great warriors, they won't fight ordinary guys. They will fight only real strong guys. So they want to fight the willpower. So we should never allow that to happen. That is by our control. So willpower, the consistency, alertness, they are all important for everybody to be on guard all the time. If these are not there, then a person will fail. That's what Krishna says. Indriyani pramathini. Indriyani means the sense organs. Indriyani, they are very, very powerful. Pramathini. Pramathini, the mati means they use this to churn the yogurt. Mati. Mati, you know, they use the yogurt to churn, to get butter. So this pramathi, mati is that which turns. And pramathi means that which violently turns. So the indriyas, they violently churn the mind. They violently churn it. They churn the mind. The sense organs can tremendously churn the mind. These are turbulent motion they can. By creating what? Raga, dvesha, kama, krodha. All those things. By churning the mind violently, it can create all those things. And what they do? Haranti prasabam manaha. Prasabam means they forcibly, they kidnap the mind. They tempt the mind so much, they forcibly kidnap them. Prasabam means by force. Like it's a diabetes guy. Guy should not take sugar. But these jalebis tempt him so much. Guy immediately, first he will take one and he will look around whether anybody is watching. And take the next one. If the wife is not watching, the third one. Whom he is trying to justify. Right? That's what he does. So, and the mind of which person is this? If it tracks the mind of an ordinary person, it's no problem. Okay, he's an ordinary guy, doesn't know. Fine. But it tracks the mind of even the seeker. A guy who has learned very well Vedanta, who has done Shravanam, Mananam, all these things he has done, he has doubtless knowledge. Even him, it attacks and drags him. Who wants to pursue Vedanta, even from that path, it wants to pull him away from that. For every seeker, the tests are so many. They can draw him many times. So Krishna says, Vipaschitaha purushasya api. Vipaschit. Vipaschit means one who is discriminative. One who is intelligent person. A person who knows dharma dharma. Dharma dharma he knows. What is good and bad he knows. So vipaschit. So ordinary man getting tempted is not a problem. He's an ordinary man. He doesn't know anything. Whereas this is not an ordinary man. Ordinary man is like a cow. You feed grass, it will just come after you. No problem. Whereas this guy is an intelligent person. He is a real seeker. So this is in day-to-day life. We see many times we have doctors. The doctors, they know the formula of every medicine, everything they know. They become addicts to drugs too sometimes. They also become alcoholics. How? Because they know that very well. Even though they are intelligent people, they understand everything, they also get tempted. For some reason or the other, they get drawn into that. They also become alcoholics and all that. And how do you explain that? Krishna says, Vipaschitaha, even the most informed person, he's not being Atmajnani here. The informed person who has got all the knowledge. Not only that, Yatataha api. Even though he is striving to get out of this problem, yatataha means prayatnam, he makes efforts to get out of this also, get out of this weakness, even such a person's mind, the sense organ can take away. Even such a person's mind can be taken away. So what we can know from this is what? The greatest enemy for anybody is not outside. It's inside only. That is why when Hiranyakashipu wanted to put Prahlada through the entire thing, he told Prahlada, what is it you are talking about, this Narayana? I have conquered the three worlds. Everything is under my control now. The planets won't move without my permission. Why you are going to this Narayana? And then Prahlada said, yes, Dad, you have now conquered everything, fine. All the external enemies you have. But you have got six internal enemies. You have not done anything to them. You cannot conquer them. All these kama, krodha, they are all inside you. You have not conquered them at all. So that ahankara, everything, they are all there in you. So you are not a big victorious person yet. So the most dangerous enemies are not outside, they are all inside. So we get tempted, we do the thing, and later we try to justify. This is another problem. An alcoholic will justify also. A guy, you know, he will say, oh, if I don't drink alcohol, how the alcohol guy will sell, make a living? Right? He has to justify that. Or one cup is not going to hurt much. I mean, take only one cup. Doesn't matter. That's what he will always justify. So, these are problems. Thereafter, he takes a vow. I will not drink. So, only on one occasion I will take. All these things go. That the person, then the willpower, a person within the strongest willpower. Normally, people will say, yava jivit, sukham jivit. That's all. Everybody says, as long as I live, I want to be happy. So what does it matter? Right? People go all these things. But even the most intelligent person's mind can get tempted and get drawn unless he is alert. Unless he is consistent and he has got a strong willpower and he is alert. So I alone have to be sincere to myself, number one. There is no need to justify to anybody else. We have to be sincere to ourselves. Nobody will come after me for each time to monitor me. And then see whether I am doing the right thing or not. We have to be, actually in Krishna, in Uddhava Gita, he says so many things. There he says, what are the things you need to monitor every day, every minute? What you see, what you hear, what you read, what you talk, whom you interact with, everything. He gives this of 10 items. You have to monitor every one of them. Nobody will monitor for you. You have to monitor yourself. You cannot just, you don't have to justify to anyone. You have to justify to only yourself. So if I fail, nobody will even know that. Because it's my own, this thing. So we have to be honest to ourselves. We are not doing it for the sake of anybody else. We are doing it for ourselves. I should be sincere. So when Krishna says it is difficult, then people may say, I cannot practice at all. Right? Krishna says it's all difficult. Then he says, it's a difficult thing. Why should I practice? Is it difficult? You, Krishna, if it is difficult for Krishna, who am I? Vedanti, all these people will say, right? So further Krishna says, it's a warning. Indriyani pramatini haranti prasabam manaha. Haranti, it takes away. Haranti means it takes away. So what should I do? Because this enough, it takes away, what will you do? Krishna has to give the answer. Krishna gives the next sloka. Tani sarvani samyamya.
Tani sarvani samyamya. Tani sarvani samyamya.
Yukta asita matparaha.
Yukta asita matparaha.
Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha.
Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha.
Vashehi yasyendriyani.
Vashehi yasyendriyani. Vashehi yasyendriyani.
Tasya prajna pratishtita.
Tasya prajna pratishtita. Tasya prajna pratishtita.
Vashehi yasyendriyani. Tasya prajna pratishtita.
Vashehi yasyendriyani. Tasya prajna pratishtita. Vashehi yasyendriyani. Tasya prajna pratishtita.
So he says, tani sarvani samyamya. Tani sarvani samyamya. Controlling those sense organs. Sarvani. Those sense organs. Not allowing the disturbing thoughts through the sense organs. The disturbing thoughts. The moment I sense that I may be in danger or may get drawn into it. The moment I sense that, in the very beginning itself, plug that off. Plug that thought off. Do not allow that to be nurtured. Do not go near that at all. That's what Krishna wants us. The moment you think that there is some danger, smell is there, get out of that. Just like the kurma. Kurmaha angani eva. As the tortoise withdraws all the limbs to avoid danger. You also do the same way. Similarly, may you also avoid danger from the sense objects. Yasya indriyani vashe tasya prajna pratishtita. The one whose sense organs are under control, vashe, under control, he can assimilate this wisdom quickly. Prajna pratishtita, it becomes a firm wisdom in such a person. Otherwise, for example, if the road is under repair, if it is not given sufficient protection, then 2-3 trucks may go. A big pothole, whatever itself can come just like that, it cannot even survive even 1 monsoon. If it is put superficially. So the Dhamma was emphasized in the previous shloka. Here we already saw sense control. Now Krishna is emphasizing. Now what? Shama. Shama is mind control. Mano nigraha. Dhamma alone is not adequate. He says mind control is important. Now we should see why mind control is important. Why Shama is important. There are 2 reasons. One is, however much we control our sense organs, it is impossible to totally close them off. We can control sense organs, no problem. But it is impossible to totally close them off. Definitely we have to do definitely inevitable things. Vivaharas are there. Inevitable things have to be done. You have to smell, you have to eat, you have to, all those things are there. So some perceptions are going to happen all the time. That you cannot avoid. It will happen. So, you know, when you go on the road, you know, no problem at all. There are so many shops on either side. You have to see on the road also. You have to be concentrating on the road only all the time. You have to only see the vehicle in front of you. But mind doesn't do that. Turn somewhere. If there is some flickering light somewhere, you turn. So it all happens. So they all get crashed in you all the time. So the nature of business is what? Only advertisement. So everywhere there is advertisement, all the things, some noise, some music, something is going on all the time. So that's the principle of temptation. The advertisement itself is what? Based on the principle of temptation. And temptation, once it will be entering into the mind, because the advertisement is there everywhere. Everywhere it is there. It will enter. And suppose if they enter. So they will enter. That is a fact. It will enter. So they enter now. What will happen now? then the job of the mind is what it should do. It should do shama. Once it enters, the job of the mind is shama, control the mind. So it should regulate it. And what do we mean shama now? That's what we have to understand. Once any negative thought, whatever may be a negative thought or a sense object enters into the mind, all sense objects we call them as negative thought because why? They are negative. They are all obstructions to my goal, moksha, jnana. So anything that is an obstruction to my goal is a negative thought. That's what we are. They may not be negative, positive in the relative sense. They are negative in this sense. So any sense or any sense object, when negative thought, when they enters into the mind, what it does? It creates a ripple. It creates a ripple, some kind of a reaction. Some kind of, oh, I like, oh, it looks nice. Something. Oh, very pleasant to hear. Smells good. These are all some reaction. How the mind it happens. So this all these reactions can be, first it can turn to karma, desire, and then, you know, the karma. But the first thought, the reaction is what? It's not going to be that wild. First, it's a nice smell. It's over. Okay? It may not be that strong. But one thought is not as powerful, that is correct. But what happens? You fan the thought. Afterwards, once the thought comes, you fan it. You fan the thought more and more and allow it to grow. Generally, what happens is, once we have seen a tempting object, any tempting object, that entered into the mind through any of the sense organs, we do not keep quiet at all. Okay? Sometimes we may be quiet, but still it will linger sometime later. We go on thinking about it, which is nothing but what? Vritti avritti. Vritti avritti, it is the repetition of thought. The thought is vritti is thought. Repetition of thought. Again and again it is fanned. Surely it is done by whom? Not by the object. Done by me alone. Object entered, its job is over. Now, who is fanning the thought? Me. I am fanning. Vritti avritti is happening by me. Which is whose, under whose control? Under my control. It can be under my control, but what am I doing? I am making it avritti. I am growing it. I am fanning it up. So, one thought is not a danger at all anytime. But what happens? A thought which is fanned by repeated thinking alone, that can become a powerful temptation. At some point in time, then it can cause irritation, it can cause anger. Somebody might have just said something to you. Maybe a casual remark. At that time, it's not a big thing. Oh, this guy said something to me. You go on fanning. Look at that guy. He said that to me. He said that to me in presence of so many people. He said that to me in presence of my wife. He said that to me. Go on fanning that. Then it becomes irritation. It's a simple thing. A thing which can be just brushed aside, now that has become a volcano in your mind. Why? Because you nurtured fanning that. That's what we did it. So repeatedly thinking over that person, you know, he would have forgotten to give you $1. You might have thought he cheated you. That's it. That cheating thing is adequate to, till he breathes his last, he is going to think of that $1. He is going to keep it against him. So every common emotion, every negative emotion is nothing but a thought buildup. Can build up a thought. One thought can seldom make any emotional thing in stride at all. No problem. One simple thought does not. But thought buildup can build tremendous emotion that a person can even murder for $1. We have seen this thing. You know, people got into arguments for 5 rupees he killed, 2 rupees he killed. All those things we see in the papers. All because of this thought building. Goes through arguments, this and no control over the mind. That's what happens. So the best thing is to what? To regulate, to control the mind. The sense organ level itself, if you can control the best, no problem. So at the sense level itself, if you can control it, it is nice. But if it is not possible, if it passed through those gates and then entered into the mind, then I should come to what? The discrimination. Is the thought worth having at all or not? That I should ask myself. God has given me the free will. God has given me the willpower. This is the thing which I have over animals. Animals don't have that, but I have it. So when a thought comes, I should now ask the question, is this thought good to have or is it not good to have? If it is not good to have, pluck it off right then and forget it. Do not even think of it. If that comes again, kick it off forcefully. That's what we should do. So once I know that the thought may lead to karma, either karma or krodha or lobha or any of those things, then I should see, I remove the thought in the very, very first occurrence itself. Because at the first occurrence, it is not big yet. It is small. We can still remove it. Once it becomes big, it is a problem. Because the first thought is the feeblest thought. The weakest thought, and brushing aside is the easiest job. This is how one has to regulate the mind. The very thought, once it has gripped us, as Arjuna, Kripaya Apivishtaha, we saw that. Kripaya Parayavishtaha, we saw that earlier in the first chapter. That person will commit whatever he wants to do. No other thing stop him. Because the thought has become so big. So the second stage is the control of mind. So first control of sense organs, second stage is control of mind. But how to do that? Because that is easier said. How to do that? Because mind has the weakness to go down only all the time. Because that is the weakness of the mind. As water goes down, mind also goes down all the time. Water goes down, gravity just moves. So to go up, you need extra energy. You have to pump up water to make it go up. Same way, mind also goes to vishayas. All sense objects, it just goes after them naturally. This is how the tendency of mind is to go like that. Always vacillates, goes towards them. So what to do? And Krishna gives a solution here. Yukta asita matparaha. Yukta asita matparaha. Keep the mind engaged. Keep the mind engaged. Never allow the mind to remain idle. Never have an empty thought. Engage the mind all the time. Keep it engaged all the time. An idle mind is what? A devil's workshop. You have to be very careful the way they said it. It is not a devil's residence. It is a devil's workshop. In a workshop, you can manufacture millions of things. An ideal guy's mind can manufacture millions of things because it's a workshop. That's what it is. So all these kama, krodha, lobha, moha, raga, dvesha, everything, they're all manufactured, not just ones and twos, crores. They are all manufactured so much. So yuktaha. Yuktaha means integrated. Yuktaha means a person who is integrated. Asita, may you remain. May you remain integrated. Matparaha. Matparaha, keeping me in your mind. So may you remain integrated, keeping my thought, keeping me in your mind all the time. Here first means Atma. The Paramatma, the Lord. Me means here Paramatma. Because here it is what? Nididhyasanam is what we are talking. This is not Karma Yoga topic. This is Nididhyasanam topic. We are already in Jnana Yoga. So Shravana Manan is over. Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam is what? It's the spiritual meditation. That's what is happening now. So Atmadhyanam is what is the topic here. So not the Lord Krishna or Rama. He is not talking about keep in mind Rama or Krishna. We have to understand. This is a very, very important thing. Because whenever Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Me does not refer to Krishna, the Mailpidi Krishna who is born to Devaki and Vasudeva and Yashoda brought up that Krishna story. But here Krishna refers to Paramatma. Keep the Paramatman in mind. That's what he is talking all the time here. The very self, the Aham Brahmasmi thought. Because you are in Nididhyasanam now. You have gone through Karma Yoga, everything is all done. Now you are in Nididhyasanam, so Jnana Yoga, so have Aham Brahmasmi, that thought all the time in your mind. That is why when people go through Sannyasa Ashrama, what is taught to them? At that point they relinquish all rituals. They don't do any more rituals anymore. And at that time whatever is taught to them is the Pancha Mahavakyas. Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi, these are the kind of Jnana Brahma, these are the things they are taught to them because they will be only reflecting on this all the time. Either Gayatri Dhyanam or this Pancha Mahavakya. That's what they will be doing all the time because this is Nididhyasanam time. So if we translate Rama or Krishna, then if you want to think that way, then it won't be Nididhyasanam, it will be Upasana. So this is the distinction we have to understand. If you want to interpret me as Krishna, then it is not called Nididhyasanam, it is Upasana. Do Upasana of Krishna. You can do that also. One can do that also. If he is not in Jnana Marga yet, he can do Upasana of Krishna, he can do Bhakti of Krishna, there is no problem. If he is in Jnana Marga, then it becomes the Chaitanya. So it will become Upasana. It won't be Vedantic meditation anymore. It won't be Nididhyasana. You understand the difference, right? It's not there. So Matparaha means Atma Paraha. Matparaha refers to Atma Paraha, remains dwelling upon the Atma and all connected thoughts are related to Atma. That is, Atma is, what are the connected thoughts with respect to Atma? Atma is Purnaha, Atma is Shuddha, Atma is Nityaha, Atma is Muktaha, Nitya Sarvagata Sthanahu, all that thing we have seen. So, we have to, the thought should be centered on only those directions. That's what he says. That is, no thought which will make me Apurnaha should be entertained. So any thought that will make me apurna, I want this, I want that, no. I do not want anything. I am full, purna. That ought to be that. So the moment apurnatvam comes only, all the negative things only will come. Apurnatvam comes, negative things will come. Purnatvam comes, negative things will go away, no problem. Then what happens if a person does that? Tasya prajna pratishtita. For that person, he is supposed to be established in this prajna, this jnanam firmly. Okay? This is the prajna. Jayato vishayan pumsaha.
Jayato vishayan pumsaha. Jayato vishayan pumsaha.
Sangasteshu pajayate.
Sangasteshu pajayate. Sangasteshu pajayate.
Jayato vishayan pumsaha. Sangasteshu pajayate.
Jayato vishayan pumsaha. Sangasteshu pajayate. Jayato vishayan pumsaha. Sangasteshu pajayate.
Sangat sanjayate kamaha.
Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Sangat sanjayate kamaha.
Kamat krodho vijayate.
Kamat krodho vijayate.
Sangat sanjayate kamaha, kamat krodho vijayate.
Sangat sanjayate kamaha, kamat krodho vijayate. Sangat sanjayate kamaha, kamat krodho vijayate.
So in the previous shloka, Krishna said, yukta asita matparaha. That's what he said. With a control your mind, have an integrated mind, let the mind be only in positive direction, let it be thinking positive things, never in the negative at all, with me in my mind. So that's what he said. Now this particular idea is discussed in this shloka further, that the shama, the mind control, that is discussed further in this shloka. And how Krishna says this, he emphasizes actually in the negative way. Krishna emphasizes the shama in a negative way here. If shama is not there, what will be the damage done? That's what he says. If shama is not there, what will be the damage? That is discussed. And he points out that the damage is not going to be a sudden damage. It is not just something immediately, oh, something happened immediately, some sudden damage has come. It is going to be very, very gradual, stage after stage. It's a silent killer. It is going to be stage after stage, very gradual. This is the most unfortunate thing. Because if it is sudden, at least you can say, oh, something is happening. You won't even know. You are caught on guard, off guard. It is going on, happening. Because since in the beginning stage, the damage is not noticed, like cancer. If it is normally, people don't notice it when a small one cell of some small amount of cancer is, you know, in the body, people may not notice it at all. If it is noticed, they say it can be cured also. But no, it is not noticed at all. So they won't take any treatment, but slowly it grows. When our mind has got the problem of kama and krodha, at the mental level, we don't find any serious problem. Why? If I have kama and krodha at the mental level, there is a desire. I like this. Okay? After all, certain thoughts are... It's only a thought in the mind. I like it. It's fine. It's a thought in the mind. Nothing happened yet. I like it. That's all. So we even bother about it. Because body is not affected. Other people are not affected. My thought did not affect them. It's only in my thought. No problem at all. Even my decency is not affected. Because people don't see it. My thought, who says my thought? Nobody sees my thought. Even my decency is not affected because the dirt is only within my mind. People cannot see it. Nobody will even know. As it is at the mind level. So generally, our tendency will be not to bother about our thoughts. Nobody cares about them, right? If our house or dress is dirty, then we want to make sure that it is all kept very clean, no problem. Because somebody comes, they are going to see my house, I should keep it very clean. Dress is dirty, we want to wear. So all those things we do. But with mind, nobody can see. So go on entertaining any thought you like in the mind. What are you saying that? People go on entertaining any thought. But the damage that is done is not visible. But what Krishna says, though that thought is the bijam or the seed for later our actions. So this thought, which you think is a thought, just a casual thought, nobody is going to see, that is going to be the seed for our speech later, for our action later, whatever we are going to do, maybe several years from today. If this thought is going to be nurtured, you are going to speak it out sometime, you are going to do actions based on that thought sometime. So it is going to be a seed for that. That's what Krishna says. So after that some time, the thought becomes so powerful. Then what I do? I feel like expressing it at the action level. So up to now it was only a thought. Now it has become so strong after so many years, so many times. Then I feel like expressing it either through speech or through action. It is like an engine. You know, it pushes the body into action. So that's what this thought does. At the same time, I cannot be free because the public will know now. The moment I make action, I speak or I do an action, I cannot be free anymore because the public knows. Everybody knows, they see my action. So at the same time, my mind, what it does not allow me to keep quiet also. Yes, it pushes me into action. Thought is so, built up so much. It is overflowing. It pushes me into action. But I want to resist. No. The moment action comes, everybody is going to notice. Whatever was hidden as a thought, a simple thought, now can get Vishwarupam and become an action, can be noticed by everybody. So, your suppression is not going to work anymore. You may try to suppress that thought, it is not going to work anymore. Then you may go to the psychologist, blah blah, all those things can happen. It is all going to, they may put you through instruments, this and that, so it's a problem. So, at the first thought itself, if it could be removed, then it is not suppression. At the first thought level, the moment that thought comes, if it is removed, then it is not suppression anymore, it is victory. But when the thought builds up, at that time you suppress it, you put a lid on that, it is going to erupt elsewhere. They have to put you through instruments, this hypnotism, blah blah, all those things are going to happen, it is all going to be a problem. So it only shows, once I can suppress first, I can control my first thought, that shows my mastery over my mind. It is my sanity. But later, I become a slave to the same mind. So, first thought if I can pluck off, then it shows my mastery over the mind. So, Krishna says, never allow the first thought itself to continue. Even the very first time a temptation comes, pluck it off. Do not allow it to continue and allow it to become a build up like a banyan tree. What? How big is the seed of a banyan tree? So, tiny seed. When the sign tiny seed is at what the seed is going to do, so you brought the seed and put it somewhere in your veranda or somewhere, in some, put in a tulasi madam or somewhere, you put small seed, nothing is. After some time, what had happened? It can become so big a tree, its roots can become so big, it can destroy the whole building. The thoughts are like that. When a negative thought enters into the mind, after some time, that thought, if it is nurtured, it is going to become like a big tree and it can destroy the very same person. So the first thought is not powerful, but the nth thought, when it is nurtured so much, that becomes so powerful that it can swallow the person. So say no to the very first thought itself. Very first thought of drinking. Social drinking. Normally people, this is what happens. They go to a party, everybody thinks, actually this I was once, you know, I was to become a Humboldt scholar. There is a Humboldt scholarship in Germany. So the guy, one German came to interview me and all that thing. So I was already in Bell Labs. So he came to interview me and all that thing. So we went to some place. So my previous boss, he hosted dinner for him. So we went to a place. You know, I don't take anything. And they had this, there is a restaurant, they had some fondue, some dish. And the fondue is something, means some cheese, but they add wine to that. So this guy was, you know, he was sitting and because I'm vegetarian, I cannot take anything. They said, fondue I can take. And he put some, it's one of those cheese preparations. And then that guy started to put wine on that. Then I told Bruno Samson is his name. Bruno, I don't drink wine. I don't drink any of those. What? You don't drink wine? This guy got so, yeah, in Germany they all drink, bathe in wine. So I don't know. Bathe in beer and wine. He said, you don't know. And he wrote in his diary, oh, Mani is not drinking wine. And today we are preparing fondue for Mani to take wine. I said, I'm not drinking wine. That's it. I'm not taking. Fondue cannot be taken. That's it, period. So, one small temptation of that, this is how socially it becomes. So, a person can succumb to a pressure like that and take that one cup of wine. And that one cup of wine is what? Wine is after all wine. It is not going to harm you. So, you develop that idea. Then it can end up being anything you don't know. People might say they are controlling. But at what stage it will lead where you don't know. Because you already... So you may be controlling for 20 years, no problem. At the 21st year, some situation might arise. You might say, why not have some more? It becomes a problem. So this is what the first thought of drinking itself, if it is curtailed, no problem. Now, you know, there are hospitals, Alcoholic Anonymous, some, there will be some, there are the treatment. So first thing is how to detoxify a person. There is a department, detoxification department. So because this guy is toxified, detoxify the department. And then there is sociological department. Then there is coaching for the relatives. How to treat an alcoholic. They have to be coached. This guy is an alcoholic. And how this guy has to, there is a coaching for him. Millions of dollars spent. And all what? Because this guy did not control the first thought. Right? If the first thought was controlled, this big building is not needed. Millions of dollars which could be utilized for doing so many other constructive nice things are going for this rehabilitation of this alcoholic. This is how it happens. When we really analyze it, we find what a stupid thing it is. But this is what happens in reality. So every time Krishna says, stay on God, do not allow the very first thought. So he says, what is the first step? Pumsaha vishayam dhyayataha. Pumsaha vishayaha. Vishaya means any tempting object. Any tempting sense object, they can be due to sense organs that has just entered into the body. So dama has failed now. It has entered already. So if sense control was there, it would not have entered into me. It was not there, I didn't close my ears, it has entered. I didn't close my mouth, it entered. Okay. Now, what should have been done now? This is not for me, and it should be brushed aside. That's what he should think. Okay, this entered into me, but this is not for me at all. I should throw this away. It should be brushed immediately. Instead, what does he do? Jayataha. This is not dhyanam of Ishvara. This is dhyanam of that alcohol or whatever it is. That taste. Jayataha. It's not, he does dhyanam. Dhyanam of that thing, right? You know, he is relishing that particular object. He relishes it. Oh, the taste was so good. It was so nice. The environment was so nice. The people were all so nice. All these things go build up. Because you thought that you have met a social obligation. Right? Do that. So dhyanam. Dhyanam means what? Puna punaha chintana. That's what this dhyanam is. This is not Ishwara dhyana. Puna, again and again thinking about these things. This is called the thought build up like a waves. How a wave generated? A wave, you know, in the deep ocean, there was a small ripple. A small trough was there in the water. That's all. What the wind did, pushed it. Then it becomes deeper. Then there is a crest. Again pushed it. Goes on. By the time it reaches the shore, it can be like a tsunami, which can be even 100 feet, 200, 150 feet high. Such a big wave can even swallow big buildings. All those things, which all started from a very small trough, very small ripple in the water. That's how this entire thing. So, like wave, these thoughts can be nurtured like that. So, the first thought is like a ripple. That's what it is. But I go on fanning it as the wind does, then the same becomes like a huge wave, then I have become a slave to that wave. That's what it does. So what happens? First stage is what? Thinking repeatedly of sense objects is the dhyana. Dhyayataha refers to repeated thinking of the sense object. That's what he is doing. And what is the next stage? Sangaha upajayate. Sangaha means what? A liking. Sangaha, liking. So priti vishaya. So liking it is. It is very nice. First I see it first. Now I think what? It is nice. First I saw only. Now I am saying it is nice. Now it is beautiful. I say maybe it is worth having. Maybe. It's not bad. So our mind goes all this. We'll make my life nicer perhaps. Can be there. No problem at all. Why can't I have it? Right? All these superficial things, they are called the sangaha. The association of thought with what you think you may be able to gaining or you may be able to experiencing, all these things are asangaha. So even at this stage, it's not that bad. Things have not gone out of your control yet. It may be difficult though, but still an intelligent person can get rid of it even at this stage. No problem. But what is the third stage? Sangate kamaha sanjayate. Sangate. Out of this sangha, out of this association with this thought, it is worth, it is nice, it is beautiful, with all that. Then at one time, what he says? I should have it. I should have it. It's imperative mood. Vidiling has come now. Sorry, grammar, so I don't have to worry about it. So, it is imperative mood that has come. I should have it. It is repeated now. It is so much. Then, I should have it also becomes very, very powerful in this person. Because Sangat, Kamaha, Sanjaya, the desire has come. Then he says, without that, what is life? He has gone to that stage now. Without having this, how I can experience my life at all? I will end even my life without this. It goes to that stage. I cannot imagine myself as a Purna Vastu without that. So if I have to get Purnatvam, that should be there. That is what my thought is. So this is the height of Kama. Kama can force the person up to this level. So he becomes a slave to that. So Sangate Kamaha Sanjayate. Always these drug dealers, they only act on that. They go to these schools, small children, they give a small bit of that. So the children taste it. They give it free first time. Or they may even give a balloon along with that. We don't know. And after that time, the child, next time you come, he will give something more. Go on tempting. And like that, this builds up the child. One day the child, whatever it has to do, the child will do to get that thing. So these are all problems. So Sangat Kamaga Sanjayate. And finally, then afterwards, coming back is very, very difficult. Once it has become that, coming back is very difficult. Some miracle has to happen. If a person has to come around, some miracle has to happen. He has to completely surrender to the Lord. So alcoholics and all, same problem they have. But at that time, mind doesn't work. So they won't even surrender to the Lord. They will be all like this. It will be damaged completely. Then what happens? Kamate krodaha abhijayate. Kamat krodo abhijayate. He will become short-tempered person. Krodaha, anger. He will come. And if he doesn't get the object of desire, he will create a big scene. Many times, if he doesn't get what he wants, he will create a big scene. So, umpteen problems. He can create all those things. When the object of desire is not fulfilled, it leads to krodha. So, Krishna says, object of desire is not fulfilled, leads to krodha. But we can understand, when object of desire is fulfilled, what will happen? It leads to what? Greed, lobha. He wants more. So, when it is krodha, desire fulfilled leads to greed. Desire unfulfilled leads to krodha. Krodha and fear are like brothers. It can lead to fear also. Because bhayam. Because when desire is fulfilled, you want to get a promotion at work. Right? You want to work. So you thought you will get promotion, but you didn't get. So because you desired for the promotion, but you didn't get it. Can you get angry with your boss? Then you cannot have your job tomorrow. Right? So at that time, what you get? Oh my God, I thought I will get this promotion. I didn't get it. Maybe I am in the list of pink slips. So you are already afraid. Bhayam comes naturally. Already you think maybe in the next pink slip, I am going to be the guy to be sent out. Because they didn't give me promotion. They didn't give me even increment. Whatever routine increment I will get, they cut off. So all these things, fear. And he cannot show anger there. But he can show that anger somewhere else. He can go home. And that day coffee may have less sugar. That's it. Or whatever it is, even normal coffee. Even the cups and saucers fly. Your wife, you can show the anger there. Because this is how people normally do. So, kama, krodha vijayate. So, krodha comes. So, any sense pleasure will make the mind crave for more when it is fulfilled. So, he becomes greedy. So, kamaha fulfilled will lead to lobha. Greed. Lobha means greed. It will lead to trouble either way, whether it is lobha or krodha. So, all these social drinking, controlled drinking, see, people are, you know, normally these are all things I see all this. Social drinker, occasional drinker. He will write. You know, these are all boys and girls who put in the marriage thing, you know.
Matrimonial.
Tamil matrimony, that matrimony, all that. Shadi.com, all that comes are there, right? And they will put there. Because I went through that, two children, right? I'm saying out of experience. It's all written there. Social drinker. I am only vegetarian. He takes only eggs. Drinks only on occasions. Drinks only wine. All these entries are there. We see all of them. So that's what happens. So once it is allowed, then it becomes like a volcano. So no one can approach such a person because his krodha is so much. Then what will happen? Krishna is plainly giving the downfall of the intelligent man. A person who is supposed to be the roof and crown of creation, this human being, goes through this all these things, these addictions, and becomes what? A wreck. So he falls. That's what Krishna says. He becomes worse than an animal. He is pumsaha, purusha. He is supposed to be a purusha. Purusha means a person who should have purushartha. Purushartha is what? Part of the purusharthas. The four purusha. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That is the purushartha. So he doesn't have any of them. Means what? Purusharta is not there. He is what is animal. So even though he is a person in human frame, he is none other than an animal. So that's what he says. Then to what extent it continues? It continues to the downfall of that person that Krishna is going to tell in the next shloka, which we will see next class.